There's that stuff outside in Chavez. And we're holding in the middle what appears to be a machlokas of Abaya and Rava about how to understand the machlokas of Rav Shimon ben Elazar and the Talmud Leiter of Yishmael, but for that matter, whether there is a machlokas between Rav Shimon ben Elazar and the Talmud Leiter of Yishmael. According to Abaya, since we're going to be continuing for some time about this issue, I think it's worthwhile a brief review. First of all, what does Rav Shimon ben Elazar say? Rav Shimon ben Elazar says that if you have something besides Tishta that is Yotze Mina Eitz, there's no din of Tuma if it's Shalosh al Shalosh Etzbaot, and you can use it for Sichuch of a Sukkah. Tishtan is different. At least this is how Rashi understands the statement. Now there's also Tanur Veir Rishmol. It doesn't say anything about Sukkah and it doesn't say anything about Shalosh al Shalosh, but what he does say is that the Torah defines the word Beged in one place. And nowhere else. It just talks about Beged in the whole Torah, but there's one place where it says, what do I mean by Beged? Something made out of Semer or Pishti. Either wool or linen, that's called a Beged, from which we determine that all the Gadim mentioned in the Torah are always Semer or Pishti. Says Abaya, so that boils down to the same thing. Where did Rabbi Shimon...
Or Pishti.
Where does Rabbi Shimon, what did Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar say? But there's no din of Tuma other than on Pishta. Where did he get that from? If it's Yotze Min Ha'Eitz, he was only talking about things that are wood, that are tree. Where did he get that from? How does he know that? Apparently it's the same thing. He and a ton of Rabbi Shimon are simply saying the same thing. There's no din of Tuma on a Beged that is not made out of Semer Pishta. What's the mucker of Tuma, Bichlal? The fact that Clark keeps using the word Beged. And that's why we know something you wear is considered to be tummy like any other kli. But we define that as being Tzemru Pishtim. So across the board, there's only Tuma on the gutter of Tzemru Pishtim. That's how Abaya opens up our sugya. Comes along Rav and says, what do you mean? There's a big difference between them. Rav Shimon ben Elazar kept stressing the din of Shalosh al Shalosh. And the Tanur Rebbe Shimon never said a word about Shalosh al Shalosh. They were just talking about Tuma. So apparently, there's a big difference. If you have Shalosh al Shalosh, so there you have three tefachim by three tefachim, instead of three etzvaot by three etzvaot. That's where you got the machlokas. Rav Shimon ben Elazar stresses that Tuma isn't chal on a beged of other materials if it's less than three tefachim by three tefachim. But certainly if it's three tefachim, then already it would be tame. Mashenkin, the Tanur Rebbe Shimon doesn't hold of Tuma at all. This is what Rava said yesterday, was the difference between Rav Shimon ben Elazar.
Tefachim.
So the only thing that Rav Shimon Elazar was stressing was the lower shear of Etzbos, but the upper shear he would have agreed to, that other begunim or metamim. Now, of course, that seems terribly arbitrary. I mean, either, in other words, what Abaye was saying seems very simple. We know we have a mocker in the Torah in which the Torah defines Beged, Tzemru Pishtim. For you to come along and suddenly decide, well, I was only talking about begunim the size of three Etzbos, but where would you get that from before? So our immediate reaction is, so, I mean, according to Rava, where does it come from? How would the Shimon ben Elazar approach, there's an afkamina according to Rava between 3 by 3 tefachim and 3 by 3 etzbos, how would that be derived from the Torah? If the Torah seems to define the word Beged, period. Now you can't add explanation. So this is what we got into yesterday, to try to understand what the Mokker is according to Rava, and why it is that Abaye wouldn't hold of that Mokker. So let's just briefly review what it is that we did before. We had a Ribui. The Gemara says, how does he know it? And our first reaction was, since it says Veha Beged, which always, that extra Vav, where there's a list of Inyonim, which we could have had a Vav Stam at the end. We start with a Pasik that starts with a Vav. What exactly is that for? So Veha Beged, Kebo Negat Sarah. Just say Beged, Kebo Negat Sarah. So the Veha Beged, the Beged Semra, the Beged Pishtim, seems to be adding something. So therefore, we're going to tell us that that's the addition of 3 by 3 tefachim, and we have an extra remez. What was the term? Memayet? That it says only Semer Pishtim? That's being memayet davka. This is too hot still. This is memayet davka 3 by 3 etzvot. How did we come up with that difference? Why don't we say, the Gemara wants to know, where does it come from, 3 by 3? So apparently, we talked yesterday to almost all of the Mephoshim agree that this is a svara. That if you're trying to be marva something, you can't be, on the one hand we have a ribu, and on the one hand we have a mikra. So it's telling us pishtim, several pishtim. On the other hand, it's giving us a remez that tumas begodim you could have on other things as well, if there are no geah. Okay, so how do I know what to be marve? So on the one hand, we have to take into consideration the fact that the Torah gives us a special din by Negayim, that even threads are mekabel tumah, which strikes you as being, if threads are mekabel tumah, so then of course, any size ought to be mekabel
tumah.
Only tamar pishti, the threads. But so our logic goes like this. On my own, I would have understood the word beged as meaning something you can wear, not just a piece of material. Therefore comes along the Torah to tell me, oh, beged. Oh, beged, so maybe that's a din in being marba, even less than a beged, meaning even a piece of material. Is that your first reaction? If it's a piece of material, then it's not coming to tell me anything about other materials at all. It's going to be telling me about Samuel Pishtim. So then you would say, well, but I know that already from the threads. The thread is coming, Koshke no thing is coming. It's a big piece of material, it already includes threads. So therefore, Lechura, you've got an extra pasuk to tell me other begun. And now the question is, and here was where the machlokas was, whether the din of learning out from a kal v'chomer of the threads is true even for shalosh al shalosh. Everybody seems to agree that there's a din of tzemer of pishtim, and the Shimon Azar also said, chutz mi pishtim yad shalosh al shalosh, then it's certainly going to be matami. How does he know that? If he knows that from the threads directly, then in Akinami, you don't have a problem. But if that's the case, then when we come to the O Beged, which should certainly be Marba, other begod. Now the Gemara, in fact, makes an Avkamina, that if you have 3x3 Tfachim, so then you indeed can say that it would be Metame, even though it's not a Beged Shalach. But if you only have 3x3 Ezbohut, it's not even as good as the threads. Why? Because something that is a thread can be turned into any size better. So it's useful for even an Ashir, who generally throws away a small piece of material. What are you going to do with a small piece of material that's 3x3 etzba'ot, less than 3x3 tfachim? Mashenkin, once it's 3x3 tfachim, then it's usable, even by Ashirim. So therefore, I know it. I don't need to have a limud to tell me 3x3 tfachim. I only need a limud to tell me 3x3 of that I don't derive directly. Okay, so everybody certainly agreed that 3x3 etzba'ot is certainly going to be metamid benegoyim. What's our question? How do we know 3x3 tvachim that should be metamid even if it's not made out of tzemer pishtim? Because according to Rava, that is precisely what the machlokas is between Rav Shimon ben Elazar and the Tana de Rabbi Yishmael. So here was the discussion between Abaye and Rava that we had yesterday. How far should we go in the limud? Should we learn out even other begadim or not? All right. Lamaisa today, it turns out, we'll go back on the limudim and the details of the limudim in a moment, but the next line, which we didn't get to yesterday, because it's in the middle of the daf on Amud Aleph, shows us that actually Rava changed his mind. Because Omar Abaye, the following Tana de Rav Yishmael, is clearly in contradiction to the earlier Tana de Rav Yishmael, that this Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael mafik mi'idach Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, and shows us that there is another approach in the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Yishmael, in which there is, in fact, tumah of other substances. The Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael beged, ein li'ela beged temenu pishtim. I would have said, if it said beged dafka, a beged of made out of tzemru pishtim, because that's the only time that the Torah identifies a beged, and that's in the parsha of Negaim. Minayin l'rabot, how would I know that we should also include tzemer gimalim, tzemer arnavim, notza shel izim? The lashon of tzemer in the Torah stam is always a reference to the common tzemer, which is the wool that's made out of sheep. As Tosus points out, we learned back in the Chulin, that wherever we identify a particular species in the Torah, or a word, it's always defined by the way it was used at the Zman of Kabbalah's Torah. And that if you have, at that time, this was a discussion, if you recall, about azo. What does the Torah mean by azo? There's many subspecies of azo. So anything that was differentiated at the time of Kabbalah Soterah is considered to be the definition of that word. If it's differentiated out and requires an adjective, then it's not included in the stam. Stam tzemer is always used throughout the Tanakh in terms of tzemer of, made out of tvasim. So there is a tzemer gemalim, but it's called tzemer gemalim. There is this tzemer that's even made from izim, but you call it kashmir, you don't call it regular wool. It's identified. So we need, therefore, a pasuk to be marbe, tzemer gemalim. Of course, the moment I hear that, I think to myself, uh-oh, this is inconsistent with what the Tanya Rebbe Shmuel said before. Tanya Rebbe Shmuel said before that it says Beged Tzemer Pishtim is defined in the Torah, period. So now we're going to be using a pasuk to be marred by other things. Tzemer Arnavim, you got rabbit Tzemer. Notza Shalizim, don't confuse Notza Shalizim with the hair that's taken from an Aes. Because the hair that's taken from an Aes is called Sak. And Sak is mentioned Beferush in the pasuk. Oh Beged, oh Sak. So that's a given. Notza Shalizim is what we would call cashmere wool. Notza is a down substance, not a hair. And you can make, indeed, something that's very, very fine out of it. It's interesting that your cashmere sweaters can be sewn together with linen without any problem. Because
even do about
it? Yeah, they're not wool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, shirin, we had the fine, very fine silk. The kolach, we had the silk that was spun. The sirikin, which is just pressed silk. Talmud Lomar, Ol Beged. He now is bringing the very pasuk that we used before to be marba other begadim. And we said, that's how Rav Shimon ben Elazar knows the other begadim. And now, Rava himself is turning, the son of Rav Shimon himself is turning around, using that old beged to say, even though the Torah defines beged as temer pishim, don't take that too seriously. Actually, there's other things that are included, and he uses the lashon of old beged, which we find by the sugya that we talked about yesterday, of shratzim, where it talks about kliyeds, o beged, o or, o sak, that o is a reboot to other things as well.
Why was izim included in the tzemer?
Because that's not what the word tzemer usually means. Izim are hairy, they're not woolly.
The whole
are not?
Part of tzom, maybe.
Yeah, but the idea is not tzom, the idea is kibasim. As it always talks, whenever it talks about your begadim, it's Tzom Yibegadecha, Tfasim. So Talmud Lomar, O Beged. So Abaya comes to a conclusion, because this is consistent with what Abaya said before, because Yehov, Rav Shimon, Elazar, Tanan, Rav Yishmael, said over Achav, that there's no tumma at all by begadim. Now comes along Rav Yishmael, and says, no, there is tumma by begadim. Comes along Rav, and this is really shocking, Rav Omar, I understand, what's your problem? Did the original Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael that you took as a blanket statement of the non-tuma on anything besides a beged of tzemer pishtim, did he ever say everything? Maybe he was talking about a shir of shalosh al shalosh, because after all, that's what's unique about negoyim, that even a small, tiny piece of shalosh al shalosh is b'tamei b'negoyim by tzemer pishtim. But maybe what he's being marba from Obeged is shlosha shlosha, meaning tvachim, and now he agrees that shlosha shlosha itle, that other things that are 3x3 tvachim do have tumah. Now this is just absolutely shocking. Because Rava just yesterday was the one who turned around to Abaya and said, oh no, actually there is a machlokas between the Tanna of Rabbi Shmuel and Rav Shimon ben Elazar. What's the machlokas? That the Tanna of Rabbi Shmuel indeed holds it's a blanket statement, no tumah exists on begadim that aren't made of tzemer pishtim. Today, Rava should turn around and say, well, actually, that's what the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel hold. And he was the one who made that to be the Kal Vakomer, the Machlokas, in which that was what Rav Shimon ben Elazar held. So now Rava is taking things even further than Abaya, because Abaya said yesterday, yes, they're agreed. They're agreed that there's no tomb at all. Rava says, no, actually, they disagree, because Rav Shimon ben Elazar seemed to be focused on Shalash HaShalash. So now Rava turns around and says, and so is Rabbi Shmuel focused on Shalash HaShalash. But actually, Shlosha, Shlosha, yes. I mean, so Rav has completely turned himself around. Ask the Gemara, Rav who the Amar was Rav who just yesterday said that Shlosha, Shlosha, Bishar Begadim, the shear of 3 tvachim by 3 tvachim, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, exists, because Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar was the one who stressed Shlosh, Shlosh, by the statement about the Sukkah, and L'Retonet of Rabbi Shmuel Letle. But the Tana Rabbi Shmuel is the one who doesn't hold that there's any tumah, even if it's 3x3. And now Rava takes the easy way out to say there's no problem in a contradiction between the two brayot of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Actually, the first brayot never meant to say there's no beged other than tzemer pishtim. It only meant to say there's no beged of 3x3 etzbaot other than tzemer pishtim. But certainly there could be begadim of 3x3 tvachim. Says the Gemara, well, yeah, you're right. The fact is Rava decided after he saw the other version of the Tanna Divrei Rabbi Shmuel that it would be better to modify his understanding of the first Braita than to make it a machloket in the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Shmuel. So he then turned around, Harabe Rava Mia. Indeed, he turned around and said, look, obviously I misunderstood it. It makes more sense to say that he was talking only about Shalash HaShalash and not Shalash HaShalash. Or there's another simple explanation. The other explanation is maybe the original approach in the Braisa of Rav Yishmol was Rav Papa, or Rav Papa Amra. Because Rav Papa, we often confuse Rav Papa and Rava because they were consecutive Rosh Yeshiva. And therefore, sometimes a quote was attributed to one instead of the other. So Rav Papa, we know, says that Af Kol La'atuye Kilayim. You go back, you'll have to note that we made sort of a little bit of an assumption. Because when Rav Yishmol originally, take a look on that Amud Beis, the end of the sixth line. Ma'ala halan semro pishtim, af kol semro pishtim. Now we took that to mean, af kol, every single place that the Torah mentions the word beged, it only means semro pishtim. Maybe that was a little bit overdone. Maybe all the Torah of Rav Yishmol meant was, as Rav Papa is suggesting, that it's not a blanket indictment of other begadim that they can't be mekabel tuma. It's just simply telling you there's another place where the Torah keeps talking about beged, which is beged kilayim shatnez lo yaleh alefa. Well, what's that beged? What is kilayim shatnez? Any two species. Therefore, comes along the Torah over here by negoyim to stress beged tzemer and beged pishtim, that the beged kilayim shatnez would have to be a combination of tzemer and pishtim. That's absurd. What do you mean? This isn't the way we know what kilayim is. It says b'feirush in the Torah what kilayim is. Lo tilbas shatnez semro pishtim yakbav. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me what kilayim is if the Torah says don't wear a beged of shatnez defined as semro pishtim yakbav? Well, maybe that would be a derek levi shah. I mean, there's two types of shatnez. There's a beged shatnez. And then there's the stamin. You cover yourself up with a sheet of shatnez, right? So Salka Daita Chavina. Perhaps I would have thought that Hani Miller Derek Levisha Avobihala'a Kotre Mine Asr. I might have thought, if it wouldn't be for this new Limud, that actually any two things, if you're using them as a cover, that they would be Asr. And therefore I need to say that even other things are Tzemrul Pishtim Yafa. What? That doesn't make any sense. Vlavka Vachoma rule, I understand. Which one is the most clear-cut kilayim that the Torah would ask? Levisha, more than. As a matter of fact, some people aren't even aware of the fact that there's an issur kilayim of just covering yourself and not wearing something. So if levisha, the kamitane kol gufa mikilayim, if when you're wearing something, nonetheless, the Torah says, lo tilbash, don't wear it if it's tzemer ufishtim yafra. Don't wear it. So what are you telling me? I would have thought that means, well, that's only if I wear it. I cover myself, maybe any two minim or us. Does that make sense? If you cover yourself, it's even less of a reason to have shatnez, not more of a reason to be shatnez, because the derech levisha is the ultimate use of a material. Everything else is somewhat more arbitrary. So malavisha dekamitane kule gufe mikilayim. If a person's wearing something and is entirely covered by kilayim, and nonetheless you said, even so, only a mixture of seminal pishtim, Midiakrin alone, nothing else would be included in kilayim. Isn't it obvious that when it comes to just putting a sheet over yourself, a blanket over yourself, that of course you're not going to think that it's going to be usher, even if you're mixing cotton and linen? So, Ramela, what is Rav Papa talking about? That the af kol of the Tanna Divrei Rabbi Shmuel is teaching me a tremendous lima that kilayim is defined by tzemer upishtim, even if it's just a sheet beyond. Ella, the Rapapa Bedusa, obviously, this is, Bedusa means that it was made up. I mean, somebody's misquoting it. Abigir says, Berusa, this is garbage. I mean, I can't, you're going to just throw in that over here. That just, it simply doesn't fit. And forget about Rapapa. All right, so we're stuck now with the Rava, who says that the only explanation that we have is that the Tanna Divrei Rabbi Shmuel originally was not referring to three Tvachim by three Tvachim. It was only for referring to three Etzvahot by three Etzvahot. Actually, everybody is agreed, including Rav Shimon Elazar, that three Tvachim by three Tvachim is a beged in the full sense of the term, no matter what it's made out of, and would be Mekabel Tuma. Now, there's another possibility. I mean, obviously, Abaya doesn't agree to that, because Abaya says, well, The Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel is certainly contradicting himself. There must be two Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. But the only way to solve the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel problem, in order to resolve them into one, is so far as Rava's approach. Rav Papa tried, we didn't accept Rav Papa. That the Apkol was a reference to Kilayim, and the other Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel was being marva begadim for Tuma Shrutzim and so on. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak has a different approach. The same idea of Rav Papa. That the word af kol in the original Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel was not a reference to the dinim of tuma, it was a reference to something else. It doesn't work out for kelayim, but Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak says it may work out for something else. Maybe af kol atayit tzitzit. Maybe the idea is that since the Torah didn't define what it meant by tzitzit, it said put it on your beged. I can't think big deal. I never told me what kind of beged. Comes along the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel to say af kol, since the Torah defines beged by negayim. It expects you to understand that beged means the same thing when it comes to tzitzit. If you're wearing tzemer or pishtim, put on tzitzit. If you're wearing cotton or silk, don't bother to put on tzitzit. If that's the case, then that one has nothing to do with the other. One Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel was referring to denim of tzitzit. The other Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel was referring to the word beged that's used in the Parsha Shlosh. Has an extra O in it when it comes to sheretz, which of course means all Kabbalah's tuma. But you're confusing two totally unrelated issues. There's no problem in the two brises of Tana Rabbi Shmuel. Was you misunderstood the original brise and assumed it was referring to tuma? You were completely wrong. Well, no, it has nothing to do with anything. We have no problem. Except that the Gemara says, why would I need a pasuk to tell me that tzitzit is defined by tzemer u'pishtim? If kilayim is defined by tzemer u'pishtim, then tzitzit is by definition tzemer u'pishtim. Because the Torah puts kilayim and tzitzit strangely together. So where it says, Esther the Gemara, tzitzit va'adei ketiv. Tzitzit are written openly in the Torah. Because one pasuk says, lo tilbar sha'atneis tzemer u'pishtim yachtov, and the next words are, tzitzilim ta'aselot, alar bakan fot kesutcha. So what does that teach us? That whatever is the tzemer u'pishtim by kilayim is the chiyuv of gedilim on the kesut that you have. Why, therefore, do I need another pasuk to tell me in the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel to be marveh ve'abeged that we're talking about? I mean, Tzemer u'pishtim, I know that we're talking only about Tzemer u'pishtim. Answers the Gemara, there's still room for the need of the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. Because if we wouldn't have seen that Negoyim defines beged as Tzemer u'pishtim, we could have understood the Tzilba Shadni Tzemer u'pishtim in exactly the way that Rava understood it. Rava points out that the pasuk itself is a little bit strange when it comes to tzitzit. Because on the one hand, it says beferush, as we read every day in Kriyat Shema, ve'asu lahem tzitzit al kanfei bigdehem, and then it starts with natnuah tzitzit hakanaf patil. So what is this patil? In other words, min kanaf. Make your tzitzit from a patil that is like the kanaf. In other words, take the material that you were using of your beged and add a patil on the piece of the beged. On the other hand, it says in the pasuk of Gedilim, Tzemer u'pishtim yachtov. Now, how do we explain that? You use on the one hand kanaf. Kanaf means anything. Okay, so therefore, says Rava, we must conclude this. There are two different dinim in tzitzit. There's a din of tzitzit to match your beged with a string. So if you're wearing a silk beged, have silk strings. Cotton begadim, have cotton strings. But tzemer u'pishtim are unique. Tzemer u'pishtim are the universal strings. So no matter what you're wearing, you can insert tzitzit that you buy out of either tzemer u'pishtim, and they will be kosher. But if you try putting silk threads into a other type of beged, into a cotton tummy, and certainly into a wool tummy, you wouldn't be yotzei. And this is the way to understand the remez of shatnez to tzitzit. But it's not coming to tell me the only type of beged that you're chayev on is tzemer u'pishtim. That's ridiculous. I mean, why should you say such a thing? We have a much, much higher order limud that we have to deal with first, because kanaf is certainly mashma anything. Comes along the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel and says, kanaf of what, my dear? Kanfei bigdehem. What are bigdehem? The Torah defines bigdehem as tzemer u'pishtim also. So how can you say that there's two different dinim? There is no other kanaf. We weren't talking about silk, and we weren't talking about cotton. We were talking about tzemer u'pishtim. So you're back where you started from. But if it wouldn't have been for the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, what would we have thought? We would have thought like Rama, even though it says that there's a gedilim connection to tzitzit. Therefore, says Rav Nachman, everything makes perfectly good sense. The braita of the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel that was focused on the parsha of Negaim and says, "Af kol, we learn out from the game everything else," wasn't talking about tuma. The Tanit of Erich Shroh is not out of his mind. There's a different Tanit of Erich Shroh that darshins the word beged that appears by Shrotzim to mean anything. So how could you think that this one is tuma? There's two different sugyas in the Torah. One that defines beged as anything, which is obeged. That appears in the parsha of a beged that touches a sheretz. So it's clear that the Tanit of Erich Shmuel holds that any material at all is tame, as long as it satisfies the requirements of be good, which turn out to be three tefachim by three tefachim. When it comes to the other parsha, parsha of Negoyim, where the Torah defines beged, clearly it's not defining it in terms of tuma. The dinim of Negoyim are unique. So over there, when it says afkol, it was talking about tzitzit. That's the only other place where we have a non-tuma application of a definition of beged that isn't given in the Torah. Derive it from Negoyim and think about it. Negoyim, to use Negoyim as the model for tuma is silly anyway. Because Negoyim isn't really Tumah. Negoyim is a type of creation of Tumah, not Kabbalah's Tumah. The din of Kabbalah's Tumah, why would that be Nogeya, the concept of Negoyim? It doesn't even make any sense. You're telling me, what are you going to learn out one thing from the other? It happens to be that this Tumah is in the garden. So what? You want to learn out a theoretical definition of the word beged? Fine, that's okay to do. But certainly not in sugyas where the Torah went out of its way to tell you don't apply that. Where it said, oh, beged, like by Schwarzim. So now everything makes perfectly good sense. Really, we were confusing ourselves. We thought that the reference to Negoyim was a reference to Tumah. It wasn't a reference to Tumah. It was a reference to some particular case that needs a definition of the word beged. Certainly not Tumah, because Tumah, the Torah went out of its way to say, hey, let's not get too technical when it comes to beged. You know, it's all beged, or sako, or, and so on and so forth. And in case you make a mistake of thinking that you want to learn it out of beged, semrul pishim, I'll throw in the extra word, oh, beged, so that way you know that you shouldn't learn it out from there. And everything is clean. You come to the other parts, but how about the other cases where the Torah uses the word beged? So Rukhapath thought, well, what's that other case? The other case could be kilayim. So that doesn't make any sense. I mean, kilayim is well defined in itself. Okay. Well, what's the other case? Tzitzit. So first we said, but that doesn't make any sense because it's defined by kilayim. So why would we need to define beged by tzitzit? But we answered, there may be two types of tzitzit. There may be a tzitzit of semrul pishtim, which indeed, as Rava said, is defined as semrul pishtim, that are the universal tzitzit patterns. And then we have tzitzit, which is min kanaf, assuming that the word kanaf big dayan is any beged. It's on that the Tanya Rebbe Shlomo was referring when it said, after all, what beged has a kanaf? It has to first be a beged before it has a kanaf. The Torah only recognizes semrul pishtim as a beged with a kanaf. So now we know that there's no problem. So
according to Tanya Rebbe Shmuel, you're not chayv in tzitzit, so you're not wearing beged.
Correct. Turns out that Rava was not going in his sack. When he said min kanaf, he was arguing.
And the minimum size we're talking about there is?
There's no minimum size that has to do with that circuit. The minimum sizes were in terms of tuma, not in terms of beged. When it comes to...
So
to,
beged can have a shirt of any size over 3
if you... For what? For tuma, yeah.
Except
for tuma, 3 tefachim.
3 tefachim.
Yeah.
So even if it is an actual beged and it's got, let's say, 10 exposed, like 2 pairs of gloves, like a pair of gloves.
No. If you would have been here yesterday, you would have heard that an actual beged, okay, but you're here today in the middle of the thing. An actual beged has no limitations of size. If you make a little beged to cover, keep your pinky warm, then that's a pinky beged, that's fine. As long as that was your kavana, it's like any other kli. Okay, so whoops. Now my daf got turned over. So therefore, we need the remez from semrul pishtim that are said by a negoyim to teach me kamash v'lan that tzitzit are only a fiv on semrul pishtim. Omer Avad. It's not. Maybe the rice is like that. The actual halacha is like this. we don't have a fee of the rice according to most, unless there's a semrul pishtim. On cotton begadim. That's why people are marked to wear it after woolen tzitzit. Right, that's right. Even semrul tzitzit on a cotton begad is not the rice. It's kosher. But the field of the Torah.
Do people wear kelayim tzitzit?
They don't wear kelayim tzitzit because even on semer they don't wear kelayim tzitzit because they're, even on pishtim they don't wear kelayim tzitzit because they're afraid that they're tchelet. That was one of the big issues of the tchelet. How do you know that this tchelet really, if you're going to wear pishtim, you're going to put on tchelet on your skin, you'll be wearing kelayim. So they were very careful about that, and that we saw before. Gezeira, Mishum Sivlaila, so on the tzitzit, and the Yatsim, there's a lot of problems.
Why is it Chinese tying strings on the end of the baggage? I know we spoke about this.
Yes, I mean, we've had the Gemaras. We did the Gemaras.
It's not Shavai.
Sure, Tavi Menos. If it's tied, boy, if each, it's the Makoshas, you know.
But just the way
that's the Kasha, and we went, that's all the city of the Taisis. So if that's the case, it needs to be Sure, Tavi Menos together,
right.
And not separately. Yeah, so not, that was supposed to be Kasha back in the office. Yeah. Okay, anyway, this is not us, I guess. Fine. Omer Ravacha, Breda Rava, how about according to Ravashi? According to Ravashi, that. Then I'm sorry. He was telling to Ravashi, according to the Tanya of Rabbi Shmuel, Maishnol in Tuma, the Mar Bishar Begadim Dechtiv O Beged. You're telling me that the reason that Rabbi Shmuel was ready to say there's two different worlds, over the world of Tuma, the Torah said O Beged. That's to be Marba, even Begadim and not Samro Pishtim. You could say the same thing directly in the Sugya of Tzitzit, because Achanami Lema L'Rabot Sha'ar Begadim from Gedilim Tasela. Because in the Pasuk of Gedilim Tasalok, it says, Al Arba Kanfot Ksutcha Asher Techaseba. Obviously, if Ksutcha is Asher Techaseba, I mean, so what are those extra words coming to be Marva? Why don't you simply say that Asher Techaseba is a ribui, and now it's telling us that even when it comes to tzitzit, other types of materials are chayav d'oraisa and should not be learned out from Negoyim's Tzemer u'Pishtim. That's what you were willing to say when it came to Tuma. Of Shratzim, so what's the nafkamina between the ribui? It sounds to me, Asher Techaseba is a heck of a lot better ribui than the word O in a list of things, where O is certainly a reasonable thing to say, isn't it? So why is this being ignored? Says Ravashi, it's not being ignored at all. The Asher Techaseba indeed is a very fundamental part of our mitzvahs of tzitzis, and Asher Techaseba arul atui eksut sumahu diata. Would you know that a blind individual is chayev on his clothing to put in tzitzit? Doesn't it say Uri Itemoto? So Uri Itemoto, I might have thought, was someone who's blind is not chayav. And in fact, we learn out in the Brayta, Uri Itemoto only tells me that Ksut Laila is not included. So if you have things that are worn only at night, those type of things are not chayav in tzitzit. Ata Omer Prat Ksut Laila, in which we asked, you claim that Uri Itemoto means that it's a function of the beged. Perhaps it's a function of the individual. Oena ella prat ksut suma. Maybe it's coming to tell me that an individual who can't see is not chayav on his ksut. Bein bayom, bein balayel, which is what type of ksut it is. But the type of ksut actually would be included. Kishuhu omer asher techaseba hare ksut suma amur. So therefore, comes along now the ribui of asher techaseba, whatever you cover yourself with, however you do that, that includes ksut suma. Ama ani mikayem uri itemoto prat ksut laila. And therefore, what is the Torah coming to say that demands ri'iyah? What demands ri'iyah is for your pajamas. If you don't want to walk out in them, then they're not called uri itemoto. I don't want anybody to see me walking around in my pajamas, so why are you telling me uri itemoto? Okay, so we're excluding those kind of things that are not for ri'iyah. It's dark.
He would have a tzitzit for sleeping early, he would be patur from it.
That's not a ksut, that's miyuchat for Laila. It's a normal ksut. It would be horny, open, normal for Laila, but a ksut, that's miyuchat for Laila. It would be potter. Umara? Wait. Hold on. How do you know which one to do? You've got one pasuk telling me to concentrate on the Uyitemoto. And you have another one to tell me to concentrate on the fact that it's Asher Techaseba. And forget about what it's Uyitemoto. So how do you know which one to... Maybe it should be Mechayev, the ksut Laila, and you should potter the sunnah. Why did you do it this way? Suma ra'ita l'rabot suma. You went ahead and you said, well, suma must be chayek because it says it's a chaseba. On the other hand, pajamas are potter because it says uri temato. It's iksud laila. I mean, maybe the other way around. Not because marba niksud suma, shiesh nabri yaitzalachirim. There's no difference in iksud. Remember that the ikar mitzvah of the tzitzit is defined by the beggar, not by the person. The raya is that I don't personally have a touch point, so I don't personally have a chiyah to see to it that I should wear tzitzit. If I happen to be wearing a baghead of our bakanfot, I have to put in tzitzit. I don't have a chiyuv to be wearing tzitzit. So what we need to look at fundamentally is the definition of the baghead, not the definition of the person. So therefore, think about the baghead. In terms of the baghead, it makes sense to say that the ksut of a suma is no different than any other ksut. So therefore, why should I say that the Torah is coming now to exclude, but that ksut is different than another ksut? So it must be marva the ksut suma because it's yeshla b'riyah yitzel acherim. Everybody else sees this, and to them it's normal ksut. Motziani ksut laila, where everybody says that's not a normal thing to be raya. So motzi ani the kshut laila she'en abriya etzel acherim. Well, why don't we why don't we actually use it for the drasha that I suggested? Oh, beged we use for what drasha? So tell me, even other begadim, other materials. So it, maybe the first thing we should do is to be marred by the materials. In other words, it's saying over here asher techaser ba. So asher techaser ba should include cotton. You were the ones who focused. I mean, it doesn't say anything about Re'iyah in the pasuk. It's just the ribui, asher techaser ba. You took that ribui and you said, the ribui must have something to do with the limitations of Re'i Temoto. Why is that true? Why isn't the ribui, the first thing you do with the ribui, exactly the first thing that you did with the ribui when it came to sheretz? And you said, the ribui adds other begadim, other materials. So say the same thing by tzitzit. Asher techaser ba adds other materials. It's the Gemara, because look, man, I mean, it's mistavra. Koi betzemru pishtim. We just finished discussing Zemro Pishtim. Lotu Bashadne, Zemro Pishtim Yachta, and you're dealing Pasach, Lecha, Al-Kadvek Sukhan, Shetcha Seba. You're going to tell me, in the context of Zemro Pishtim, we're going to be married by other begadim? If it's not contextual, you're stopped saying. It says Beged. What does Beged mean? Well, Beged, let's learn it out of Negoy. No, therefore I tell you, oh, Beged, to tell me it's any kind of Beged. Now that makes a heck of a lot of sense. But to tell me, if you just defined yourselves right here in the Pasach, of Zemru Pishtim, oh, and by the way, you know, don't really worry about Zemru Pishtim. So what are you talking about Zemru Pishtim? Therefore, it makes much more sense to say Asher Techasema is dealing with some element of the Gadim of Zemru Pishtim, rather than to be in contradiction to the limitation of Zemru Pishtim. There's no comparison between the two drashot. Therefore, Asher Techasema isn't the Rebut. If there is a place in which I can learn that there's a Chiyav, maybe according to Rav, according to Hanav, but then we have our Tanur Rebbe Shmuel. If the Tanur Rebbe Shmuel is a basis to tell me what Yanfei Big Day means, so then we're stuck with a lima that only Big Day Zemru Pishtim would be Chayiv and Tzitzit. Omer Abaye. Abaye continues his unification approach. This is very big in Abaye. He's always trying to figure out how people say, Tosu says, maybe he's Machmir, Min Rabbonan, the Dayek Benofitz, it's Korov, to be Tavui. You know, it's not quite Tavui, it's already been pulled out by what he called Komin. But on the surface, it's not so pushed. Okay, but Lamais, according to Rav Yehuda, there needs to be some level of preparation in order for it to be considered to be Mekabel Tumah. That's what he's saying. If you already have it Tvuyah, then it's possible. If it's Ra, apparently it's not possible. Abaye is focusing on the bottom line of the Psul Sefer. Now, this is very strange. Going back again to the din of ptilot. And Rashi says, if you try to make a ptilah from something that grows mina eitz, such as, he suggests, cotton. Because what's the difference between cotton and pishta? Is pishta a tree? So when you're talking about eitz, we seem to be using the idea of eitz as a plant, a vegetable. That's not the pasuk you're looking for, but we'll get there. So according to this, I mean, the most astounding halacha that you cannot use cotton wicks. What else do we use for wicks? Cotton wicks.
Well, cotton is considered a tree.
That's what Rashi says, that the yotz mina eitz doesn't mean a technical tree. But we'll see in the Gemara, I mean, that there's a reason that we're calling it eitz. Tosfos goes absolutely, I mean, haywire on this. I don't understand. He says, the best possible wick is cotton. Now, why in the world would I not be able to use a cotton wick on Shabbos? Not to mention the fact that everybody that I know and you know uses cotton wicks, says Tosfos. So where would Rashi get this idea from? And besides, whoever heard of calling cotton a tree? As far as Pishtan being a tree, as you've all raised, that the Gemara is going to ask, why are we including Pishtan in the category of tree growth? So Adarabba, we are not including other things. We're talking dafka about wood-derived things. You're going to use wood-like fiber, cellulose. That's not a good wick. As you say, all of those things are not good wicks. But the threads that are derived from various plants and seed pods, those are completely different. This, of course, doesn't mean tumato alim in the sense of bringing tuma to something else. That's silly. Nor is this a reference to something which is itself ma'ahil. A kli which is ma'ahil over something else is mekabel tuma. Any kli is mekabel tuma. It's referring to a building. If you have something that is mechuber to the ground, and now it's made out of whatever, plastic. It's made out of stone. It's not going to be mekabel tuma. If there's a mace inside, anything in the house will be mekabel tuma. I'm right, mekabel tuma. But the oil itself cannot be mekabel tuma. unless it's made out of pishta. And there, even if it's a house and it's tied down, it has foundations and so on, if it's made out of pishta, we'll see, we derive this with a Mishkan, actually, what the din is about. Huh?
Okay.
A tent. So that type of thing would be makabel tumah if there's a mace in it. So now, says the Gemara, getting back to the Mishnah, you seem to discuss pishta within a set in which it doesn't belong. You're calling it an eight? In what sense is pishta an eight? So, minolan the pishtan he creates. The Tosa says, of course, that's the point. Why would we have included cotton? The whole question of the Gemara is to show that pishtan shouldn't have belonged in this set. So, minolan the pishtan he creates. Amar mazutra, do amar kra, v'yi he'elatam ha'gaga, v'chit v'neim, v'pishtei ha'etz. We see that the word pishtan is called pishtei ha'etz. So, therefore, the Mishnah has to address what the relationship is of pishtan to other actual tree derivatives. And that is only pishtan, says Tosfos, not other things, not certainly not seed pods. So those things that are derived from pods are not considered to be the flour. I mean, it's Tosfos says that cotton is basically a product, which is a seed product, not an actual eights product anyway. It's not normal cellulose. And therefore, it's a completely different thing, not included in our mission.
So we can use our wicks.
We can use our wicks with the greatest of pleasures, says Tosfos. Best wicks there are.
Always
go for cotton.
Thank you.